Okay, today's daf is Bechoras, daf Chaf Beis. We are on Chaf Aleph and Beis by the two dots, which we will start in a minute or two. But first, but Hashem, a couple of points on the last Gemara that we did yesterday. By the way, there is should be a daf B'I and Shir up, hopefully on different types of Rov, Ruba de Issa Kaman, Ruba de Lassa Kaman, which was which we gave last night. Okay, so last point, if you remember, question is, if somebody buys an animal from a Jew, and does not know whether it is firstborn or not, whether the first animal that comes after you buy it is going to be a firstborn. So we have three different days in the Amoraim. Rav said that it is for sure a Bechor, the one that comes out, because if it already had gotten Nizbaker, it already had its Bechor, so then for sure the Jew would have told you, because it's good for the Mocher to have told that, either because there's no more Sakana, or the first animal is not going to go to the Kohen. So there are reasons for us to believe. Shmuel says, no, Safik Bechor, because maybe he thought that you were needed just for Shechita. And Rabbi Yochanan says, no, it's Vadai Chulin. Why? Because Shmuel says, I'm worried about the Ruchnius of my friend, and therefore he would have told you if there was going to be a Bechor coming out in your possession. So he mentioned a brisa that seems to support Rabbi Yochanan, and the Gemara ended up by saying, is this the brisa, thank you, is this a brisa against Rav and Shmuel? The brisa that was the context of Oso v'es Beno, while this machlokas was in the context of Bechor. So the Gemara answered, no, there's a chiluk between them. Maybe there's a difference between Oso v'es Beno and Bechor. Tosfos said, maybe the difference is, who is the burden of proof, the probability on? Who do we normally expect the information to come from? So when it comes to Oso v'es Beno, Tosfos says, we don't assume that the seller is going to know, or even be choshesh that this animal's mother was also sold today. So therefore, the seller has the responsibility to say it. Mashenkin, when it comes to Bechor, no, it's the buyer's responsibility to find out what the status is. So content-wise, just probability, that's what they said. What about if getting back to the first line again, Rav Shita. So Rav says, if it was Bichra, so then it surely would have been said. So what about if a non-Jew doesn't say anything? A non-Jew also, we would have thought, if something would be good for his Mecher, he would have said it. So if he would have said, if he doesn't say anything, could we trust that it's also not Nisbaker yet, and it's Vade LeKohen? That is the Ha'ara of the Merom Sada, of the Nitziv, and he thinks, yeah. He thinks if the non-Jew does not say anything, it would be a Vadai Bechor in our case. If you look in the Shach, at the beginning of Shintas Zayin, sorry? But the Mishnah, you don't know if he said anything or not. The Shach says, maybe you're not, I forgot to bring the Rambam Sada again, I had it yesterday. The case here, the Rambam Sada, is like Dafka, if he does, first of all, then it was young. You don't know how old these animals are that he's buying here now. Those were specifically within the first year, and right after the first year, okay, if the Machlokas are Yishar B'Akiva, within the first year, that was more the focus of the Mishnah. Here, it's specifically, we could have said something, and he didn't say anything. Says the Shulchan Aruch, Shin Tazayin. Halokeach behema mei ovid kochavim. Ve'ein yadua im bichra v'yolda. You don't know. So what's the halacha? Hareze safik bachar v'yeachel b'mumo l'baylam. V'ein ol ha-kohen. Shamotzi mechaber alav araya. Beidem locha toch shnasa o achar shnasa. That's the first line of the Shulchan Aruch, like the first Mishnah says. If you buy it, it is a safik, like the Shita of Rabbi Akiva, correct? Rabbi Akiva says, right, as long as it's a suffix, right, if you don't know, it always goes to the bilum. So that's the first, doesn't matter how old it is. V'afilu, and here's the line that relates to our Gemara. V'afilu ima ovid kochavim meisiach lefitumo. Shekfar bichra eino ne'eman. Even if the ovid kochavim is meisiach lefitumo, which is another separate topic, just talking without being prompted, still he's not believed. Eino ne'eman. V'simanim shebechid kekarneha in my level amore l'smucholayim. Okay, but that is the Shulchan Aruch in Sif Aleph. Look in the Shach. Even if he says that it was Nisbaker, why? Delahashpiach mekcho omar kain. Because he's only saying that to try to make a good sale. De behema shebichra konemosa biyoker mebnei shechelba hitova yosem yimivakeres. Another answer, a third shot. right? They're different than Rashi and Tosfos. Why is it that the person wants to sell you one that already had the bechora? Because the milk is better than by someone who, by an animal which already had the baby. The ochi, a duum boshit is talking beleda. Right, and that's the second layer of Rashi. Akal lashono atera zohav. Vaval drisha kasav. Teheicha diika mishum de lashpiach megcho. Pshita de lo mehemen. Ela afielu meisiach lafi tumo. Afielu hachi eno neman. This is the key against that nitziv that we just said. And he quotes five other achronim that say the same thing. The shachir says, even if we have reason to believe that he could have been mashbiach mekro, and he wasn't. He didn't say nisbaker. So then you would say, oh, it must be that it really did not have bechor yet. Still says the shach, in the name of the drisha, and in the name of the trumas adeshen, and others, we only trust Mesiach Lefi Tumo by a non-Jew, by Yisurei de Rabbanon. And here we're talking about in the Raisa context, Sefer the Shach says, we would not be able to rely on the non-Jew in that case. Also, what about later on? What about buying it from a Jew? So if you look later on in that siman, okay, this is all in Bechar Behema Tahora, right, that siman. So if you look in the Shulchan Aruch later, Halokech Behema Mi Yisrael, Harei Zeh Becheskas Shebichra, Ad Sheyodio Hamocher Shadayin Lo Yalda, like Shmuel. Shmuel says that we expect the Jew to say something. Ramah, the Yesh Omrim Shehu Safik Bechar. It's not a Vadai if he doesn't say anything. It's still a Safik. So not fully like the Shita of Shmuel, and that is, the Gra says, v'tzarachin v'seh harbe, on the bottom, but that is the Shita in the Shulchan Aruch, that the Shulchan Aruch paskins me'ikra din, that we paskin like Shmuel. And the Shachir discusses it, Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan who says that we're worried about the ruchnius of the individual. That's what the Taz here says. Hachi isle Rabbi Yochanan and Dr. Losef Gimel, the Yesh Omrim, the sphere like Yishmuel, the Safi, the Safiku, Shema Yishchatana Tekef, and he quotes, Pashas is, it's like Rabbi Yochanan. Okay, anyway, says that is the Shulchan Aruch. Related to this, obviously, is the discussion in the Sugya of our, I think the third or the fourth Daf Be'in Shir that we had a couple of summers ago, and that's the Sugya of Lifnei Iver. Lifnei Iver is a big discussion that comes up related to this, and that is what Rabbi Yochanan seems to be worried about. What about the other Amoran? They're not worried about Lifnei Iver. What, a Jew does not have the responsibility of the Chor? They are. They hold Lifnei Iver, but they just say in this situation, the expectation is not for the Jew to say it. So you have to say they do, for the obviously hold of Lifnei Iver. So that is what they hold. Lifnei Iver has come up many times, just to quote the Minchas Chinuch, which hopefully we'll get to again in a couple of weeks of the Mitzvah Shir. By the way, we start Parshas Kedoshim today. Those who are keeping track. Parshas Kedoshim, we start the 51 mitzvahs there in Mitzvah Shir. But in Mitzvah Reish Lamed Beis, in Mitzvah 232, the Sefer HaChinuch discusses Lifnei Iver, and the big two big discussions of Lifnei Iver are, number one, the two different types of Lifnei Iver. Number one is Sholahachshil B'nei Yisrael L'Aseislam Eitza Ra'a. Number one is giving bad advice. Like Rashi quotes on Lifnei Iver, on the Pasuk in Kedoshim, if you want to buy a certain house, and you know your friend is interested in it, so you talk to him about, oh, it's not in a good neighborhood, and it has this problem and that problem, and then I go and buy the house. So bad advice. That is Lifnei Iver type number one, on purpose. And the second type of Lifnei Iver, which is the more common one in the Gemara, is helping somebody, facilitating somebody do an Aveira that they wouldn't have been able to do without me. If they would have been able to do it without me, so that's not Lifnei Iver Daraisa, that's Misayei L'Dvar Aveira Mi D'Rabbanan. What's called Chad Iver D'Nahara. They're on the same side, meaning they would have done it anyway. I gave the Nazir a cup of wine, but he had some wine himself. So what did I do? But still, that's an Avera D'Rabbanan. That is the second type of Lifnei Iver. But the question is, it's all counted as one Avera. Is there a connection between these two Lifnei Ivers? So there are some issues that come up in Lifnei Iver where there is an overlap between them. In the discussion, as we know, of Klali Prati, how do I look at the Israel Lifnei Iver? In the world of the Achronim, is it general Lifnei Iver? All Lifnei Ivers are the same, what we would call a Nisr Klali, or is it Nisr Prati? Every little Lifnei Iver that I do is like I'm violating a little bit of that specific Avera, a little bit of Shreif and a little bit of Nazir and a little bit of this. So that is the big discussion with the many nafkaminas that we have said before. Okay, we'll see at the end. Really, today we might have time to come back to this, but you never know. Okay, let us continue. Let us continue. Says the Mishnah. Let's start with the Mishnah now. Rabbi ben Yaakov Omer. We're still talking about how do I know if an animal already became a was nespakir or not? So Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov says that a behema gasa, a large behema, sheshafa chararas dam, that a chunk of blood came out of her. She didn't have a baby, but a chunk of blood. So what's the halacha with that chunk of blood? So harezu tikaver. So two halachas. Number one, that chunk of blood has to be buried upatura minabachora. And after that chunk of blood comes out, this animal is patur from bechora. Pashas, what does that mean? Pashas, we think that chunk of blood is a birth, is a leida, or at least is a tinuf. And therefore, afterwards, it's not going to be bechor. But why does it have to be buried? So pashas, it's not just a tinuf. That we think that it really is a fetus in there. So because it's a fetus, that's why it is has to be buried. Because we assume it has kedushas bechor. And once it has kedushas bechor, it has to be buried. If it died in utero, if it was just a tinuf, it wouldn't have kedushas bechor. You wouldn't have to bury it, even though it would pater the later birth. So the fact that you have both of these halakas together, at least in the Habamini here, we think that the reason is because it is a bechor, right? That's what Rashi says on the Mishnah. Shema vlad zachar haya shenimok v'kadosh bebechor bi yitziyaso. And it got kedushas bechor with its yitziyah. Why with its yitziyah? Because there is no kedushas bechor beforehand, right? If there's kedushas, right? We had in Tosfos a couple of days ago that if Sapa, in terms of changing the kedusha of a bechor before a bechor is born, we said that is possible because it only gets the kedusha of the bechor after it is born. Right, as Tosfos said earlier on top Tes Vav Amid Beis, if you remember that Tosfos said, "Avo b'me'a imo yachol shanoso lezavach acher kidetzan beferak ekeitzin ma'arimin." Right, we said you could change the kedusha. You're not supposed to do that, right? You're preventing yourself from being involved in the mitzvah. But once it's born, that's when it gets its full kedushas bechor. Unlike that's the contrary as Tosfos said by other karbanos, that a karban b'me'a imon, if a shlamim is pregnant, so that it has that baby might have the status of shlamim even while it's in utero. But bechor gets kedusha by peter rechem as it comes out on its way out. Yes, there's an idea of being makdish it myself, even as it comes out, but really it's automatic. Why is it important though to know that it has kedusha? My adding kedusha, I'm supposed to be makdish it, right? If you even though that mishnah said yesterday we had already, right? It was yesterday. Yeah, yesterday we had. Yeah, I'm on top. We had the distinction between Bechor and other Karbanos versus Meiser, and Meiser and Karbanos versus Bechor. And Meiser and other Karbanos had to be Hukdash. Bechor did not have to be Hukdash. That was automatic. But there's still an element, this has come up a few times, to be Makdish, my own Bechor. Why is that important? I haven't mentioned it in a while. I wanted to mention it yesterday, but I didn't get to. So I'll just mention it today. And that is the beautiful Chiddush of the Taz. The Taz on Shulchan Aruch in the Halachas of Peter Chamor, the one side of Peter Chamor, Shin Chaf Aleph. The Taz notes that there is a bracha by Peter Chamor, and there is a bracha by there's a bracha by Bechor Behemata Temeya, by Peter Chamor. There is a bracha by Pidyon Aben, but there is no bracha by Bechor Behemata Hora. Why not? Three mitzvahs counted as three separate mitzvahs asay. Four separate mitzvahs asay. Two petach hamoros, there's arifa and pidyon aben is another mitzvah, and bechor behemah tahara is another mitzvah, in Parshas Bo. So why is there only a bracha by two out of three? So the Taz quotes two dais. First the Taz quotes the Prisha, the Prisha's Kasha. Lama lama varchan gamkein, anesinas bechor behemah tahara lekohen, kamo bepidyon petach hamor, ubepidyon bechor adam. Beautiful question, right? Until you see the question, we don't focus on it. But two out of these three mitzvahs get a bracha, and this one doesn't. V'tirates, so the Prisha's answer is, you only make a bracha when you have something left in your hand. De'ein mevarech ela kishenishar biyado mimasha hayakadosh v'nosein midiachrin etachtav. If you keep something, so at Petach Hamor, you're keeping the donkey, you're giving the sheep. By the Pidyon Aben, you're keeping your son. and you're giving the slime. But here, you're not keeping anything. You're giving the bechor to the kohen. Mashiach, it's his bechor, denotes the kula of the kohen. V'no l'nishar b'yodo klum yakdusha. Says the Taz, why is that? Veins and maspikli. Why should you, what, this isn't a berachas hananin? It's a berachas hamitzvah. Why should you have to have something in your rishus? What, when you give hafrashas shumas amaisus? What do you have in your rishus? Oh, you have the rest of the field? Okay, you have the rest of the field. But by many mitzvahs, right, you don't have anything left in your hands. You just do a mitzvah. You're not benefiting in any way. So why is it that the Taz, why is it then that there is this chilek in brachas? Again, the preacher would have to say, there is something, the berachas mitzvah is allowing you, I don't know, you have scissors in your hand, you have tefillin in your hand, right? Everything is you have a wife by berachas kedusha, by berachas erison. So Benir Ali says the Taz, I think a different shot. You only make a bracha where you do something. If you're not doing anything, you're not going to make a bracha. That's HaKadosh Baruch Hu doing it. Benir Ali, dein shayach bracha. Ella b'masha oseh ha'adam mishelo al zeh mivarech shezacha la'asos mishelo ratzon ha'makam baruchu. Where you're going to do something. By pidyon ben, I'm doing something. By petach hamor, I'm doing something. By arifa or pidyon, I'm doing something. Here, there's an added element for me to do, but that's just an added element. Me'ikar adin, like the Gemara says on the top of today, this amud, is automatic. It's automatic by Leida. I can prevent it before Leida. But once Leida occurs, it's automatic. Masha Inkin, Bibichar, Deme Olam Mohayel Israel's Chuspo, Demishenoladhu, Begaza Drachmana, Vahavi Ki'ilu Lo Nolad Lo Oso Habachar, Ela Ki'ilu Nolad Bebase Kohen, Mi Paraso, Dram Rachmana Zakalobakach, the Torah gives it to him, Kemosha Kazav Kopeta Recham Liu, Al Kenin Shaykh Lavarech, Kihu Eino Ose Klum, Mi Mamo No, Masha Inkin. Beautiful. That is the Taz Shin Chaf Aleph. Yisod Gadol related to mitzvahs. You only make a bracha. Any other examples? Do we have any other mitzvahs that we do that we don't do anything? No. L'chora, if you don't do anything, that's a bracha shavak v'huda. Right, that's the whole point of a shavak v'huda. We react to something HaKadosh Baruch Hu does. But anything, any other berachas hamitzvah that we have, l'chora, we always do something. Shabbos. What about Shabbos? So what? Kiddush. So Kiddush is part of a separate mitzvah. Right? The mitzvah is the bracha there. You don't make a bracha. Bracha l'Hashem l'kem echol, m'shek l'Hashem l'tzifon l'kaddish is a Shabbos. You don't make a bracha on Kiddush. Right? Kiddush is a bracha, but that itself is the mitzvah. We're talking about a case where there is a mitzvah, but there's a separate bracha before you do the mitzvah. Right, you don't make a separate bracha on the bracha. Sometimes mitzvah brachas are mitzvahs. Brachas amazon, tefillah. Right, sometimes brachas are mitzvahs, but right, that's why it gets a little not so smooth there. Okay, but I think that would be the answer. So back to the Mishnah. The Mishnah says, according to Moshe ben Yaakov, the behemah gasa that comes out needs to be buried because we assume, how do we get into this? Because we assume it gets kedusha. There is a baby in there. There is a fetus in there. It gets kedusha on the way out, and it wasn't... Right, nothing happened to it. You didn't give it to the Kohen. So it has to be buried. Upatur ben Abachora, and afterwards, the next baby out does not have Kedushas Bechor.
The Kohen gets a Bechor, and it dies.
Kohen gets a Bechor, and it's Mamona Shal Kohen.
And it's Kohen, right? I mean, it's not, you have to...
We're going to reject this in a minute. So says the Gemara, Tani, Rabbi Chia had a Brisa related to our Mishnah, Eina mitama lo b'maga v'lo b'masa, but this chararas dam is not mitami nevela. It's not mitami b'maga b'masa as nevela usually is. So now the Gemara says 1 second. Umeyacha de eina mitama lo b'maga v'lo b'masa mighty cover. If it doesn't have tumas nevela, so why does it have to be buried? No tumas nevela means it's nothing. If it's nothing, so why do you have to bury it? So, says the Gemara, you're right. It does not have to be buried because we really think that there is a Vlad in there. That's not the reason. We're burying it, Mida Rabbanan. Mida Araisa does not have to be buried. Mida Araisa, let's call this a Tinuf. And therefore, it's enough to pop through the next Bechor. But, why do we bury it? Kedei Lefarsama, Sheniftarim and Bechorah. Right, if you bury something, it's always a big deal, where people look at what's going on in the Beis HaKfaris. I don't know if it has to be buried in the Beis HaKfaris, but what's going on? People are making such a big thing. Oh! Why? So you're going to go there. What's happening? We want to make sure that everybody knows that this mother animal already had a baby, and therefore the next one that comes out will be Pater from Bechor. Not because we think this one really is a Vlad. Says the... Now says the Gemara, Lameimra, one second, since you pottered it from Bechora, so we're before we still clarify, to Vlad Ma'alyahu, there must be some type of Vlad in there, even by Tinuf. Why is Tinuf a poter? Because we assume there's something in there. Okay, fine, not a viable Vlad which would have Kedushas Bechor, but if there's something in there, Lameimra to Vlad Ma'alyahu, V'yamai ein matam elo ma'agav l'masa, right, we're still pushing it. The whole reason that you have any type of tinuf that would potter the next thing, a miscarriage doesn't potter within 40 days, right, or within 30 days possibly of an animal. So if it was nothing, so that it wouldn't potter afterwards. The fact that it potters you afterwards means it's something. If it's something, why isn't there any tumas nevela? So Amar Rabbi Yochanan said, no, this is the reason. Mishum bitul barov naguba. This bitul barov, what do you mean bitul barov? There's a vlad in there, but there's a lot of other stuff in this mixture also. There's blood, there's other types of parts of the limbs that are there, and that's why it's not Tamei B'maga, because it's Bitul Barov. Bitul Barov is not going to be Tamei. V'adz Rabbi Yochanan, we'll come back to that. V'adz Rabbi Yochanan L'taimei. Dom Rabbi Yochanan, similarly, Rabbi Yochanan says it in the following. You get the following pshat from Rabbi Yochanan's statement. Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, Rabbi Shimon Amru Davar Echad. Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov and Rabbi Shimon said the same thing. Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov had the Amran. Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov is in our Mishnah. Our Mishnah, which says there's no tumas mago masa, no tumas nevela, but the animal still needs to be buried at a potter's from Bechor. But why isn't there tumas mago and masa? We assume because bitul barov. Rabbi Shimon Mahi, the same thing. Ditzna, the Mishnah says, in Meseches Nida, we know, Rachmana Litzlan. Rachmana Litzlan, let's say there's a stillborn inside a woman who's having a baby. So when does tumas mace start? If the baby is dead in the house, then there's tumas mace in the house. While the baby is inside, even if the baby's dead, while the baby's inside the mother, it's tuma balua. It's not matami the house. It's swallowed up tuma. At which moment does the baby matami the house? On the way out at some point. So, hashilya babayis habayis tame, says the Mishnah. Hashilya, if you have the afterbirth in the house, the whole house is tame. Losha shilya vlad, not because it is for sure elish ain shilya below vlad. You assume there was a vlad in there, ain shilya below vlad, and therefore it has to be there's tuma in the house. Rabbi Shimon over there argues and says the bias is tahar. Why? Vlad nimok at shilo yatsa. It disintegrated before it came out. There's parts of it inside. Look at Rashi. Rashi quotes Umuk Min and Hasam, and the Gemara Nida says, what's the reason for Reb Shimon that the house is tar? Mishum, bitul barov naguba. This mixture is now mostly non-Vlad, and therefore, it is not metame the house. So the fact that Reb Yochanan puts Reb Elazar ben Yaakov over here and Reb Shimon over there together means it's based on the same Svara. It's based on bitul barov. The big shaila is, on this Gemara, back to our context of Bechor, if it's bitul barov, so why is it pater from Bechor? Right? It's bitul barov, so therefore it's good enough not to be matam mishum nevela, so why is it pater from Bechor? That's the shaila that the Achronim ask. So, two or three answers. Number one, Rebbezer Meir Horowitz, Rebbezer Moshe Horowitz. It's in the back of a number of Masechtas, the Re'im, Reish Aleph Mem. Not the Re'im of Elazar Mizrahi, but the Re'im Horowitz says, the Kivan Sha Torah Megale Sheha Isha Nitzmeis B'Tumas Leida Al Yidei Leida Kazu. If we know this Tumas Leida by this type of birth, Shuv Memela Nechshav the Leida Gamma Yilif Tumen HaBachorah. Really, Bitul Barov should work. But the Torah is Mechadesh, that this is good enough for Tumas Leida. So if it's good enough for Tumas Leida of a woman, is good enough for Tumas Leida of an animal as well. Not Tumas Leida, just in terms of Bechor. Number one. If you look in the Stipler is a big piece on this, and the Stipler says, here in Bechor, it's in Simen, Chaf, Vahanire Muchach. What do you see from here? What does Bitul Barov do? Bitul Barov removes the dinim of the miut, but does not remove the essence of the miyut. The miyut still exists by bitul merov, but its dinim are not removed. To muchach mikan, to call din bitul merov, eino ela shahamiyun ma'abid kol dinim sheyesh alav v'shavehu b'chol adinim k'harov. The rov knocks out the miyut and says, miyut, you're like me. But not that you don't exist. Avol shmo lo nizbatel v'nikra hamiyut adayin b'shem Vlad shebechol makom shema shehu Vlad shebechol makom shehu Vladu elo shedidav nizbatel b'menu avam nogeil lepter imo shapir poter avol shmo lo nizbatel b'nogeil imo lahachshiva yoledes. So what's going on here? There's bitul merov, therefore the miyut doesn't have any dinim. It's not mitame mishum nevela v'chulu, but it exists. And the fact that it exists is enough for us to pater the Bechor for the next birth. That's the beautiful Chiddush of the Stipler right here in Bechoros in Simen Chaf. He just then, he says, related to this, I can answer up the Kasha of the Mordechai. And this also is dealt with by many in this context. What's the Kasha of the Mordechai? The Mordechai says, what do you see in this Gemara? The Mordechai is at the end of Maseches Chulin. What does the Mordechai say? You see in this Gemara, there's Bitul Merov. Right, and therefore there's no Tumas Nevela. So I have a Kasha. It says in Maseches Yevamis, there's a halacha of Chalitza. Chalitza has three parts. Chalitza, Rekika, and Kriya. Chalitza is definitely Ma'akev. Rekika is Machlokas. Tanam, whether it's Ma'akev. Kriya is for sure not Ma'akev. Rekika, the spitting, she spits. What if she spits blood? If she spits blood, do we assume that there is Rekika, saliva in there, if she spits out blood or not? That is the question of the, that is the issue of the Gemara. And the Gemara there says that Niftar, right, says, the Gemara says in Yavamish, Yavamish Raka Dam, Niftar Bachalitza, She'i Efshar Belot Tzichtzuche Harok. There's gotta be some roke in there. Ask the Mordechai, Bitul Barof. It's Batul, it's mostly blood. So just like our Gemara says, Bitul Merov, so too it should be Bitul Merov Naguba. That's the Kasha of the Mordechai. And therefore the Mordechai has to come up with a very lumdish answer, where the Mordechai has to say, the concept of Bitul Merov only applies by items that are separate, and then they become mixed up. Bitul Merov only applies in those cases. But if something is mixed up in the beginning of its existence, then you say, this is its existence. It's not Batel. Batel means you have two things that get mixed up. But if you have two things that start mixed up, then you don't say Bitul Merov. Beautiful Chiddush of Mordechai in Taf Shin Lamed Zayin. Inami, lech lemir Bitul Merov, ela b'davar she'inikai b'fnei atzmo t'chila, v'yakach nesarim, ava b'davar she'tchilas b'yaso, la'ola m'urav, kigon babakama, or other cases he quotes, lech lemir de Batel. That is the Chiddush of the Mordechai. Says the Stipler, though, according to my Chiddush, you have to come up to that answer. Because usually you say Bitul Merov. Bitul Merov means the dinim don't apply. But the essence is still there. So just like the essence is here by Bechor, to pater from the next Bechor, so too the essence is there, and therefore there's spit there. Even though it's in the dam, but dinim of the spit, but the, all you need by Rekika is that the essence should be there. And the mail, it's there. So he says, El al shem rok. He says, Mikal makam, shem rok olav. Kamo damrinan, da havlad. Afalishin is bat, al shem blad olav. Lini lifter imo, she yeld also. Vachanami, shem rok olav. Afalishin is bat, al linium lifter, biyavama, she has a man of itzarech, iyun gadol, ani is daiti. So he says, I don't know why the Mordechai doesn't give this answer. I don't know why. So he says, yeah, you have to somehow be mechalik between the vlad and chalitza. Chalitza is, it's good enough, right? You don't say Bitul Merov there. Mashen came here, you have to somehow be Mechalik. Anyway, that's the Stipler. That's the second answer to the question. Okay, the Reish Bikurim gives another answer. Reish Bikurim quotes the Avnei Nezer, who gives another answer. I think I mentioned that this, the Reish Bikurim, Ravram Weinberg's father, was a Talmud of the Avnei Nezer. So that's why in the back of the Reish Bikurim, it has an index of Shas, and it has an index of Avnei Nezers. Every time he quotes the Avnei Nezer in the Sefer. So he quotes also here, he says, G'l'inyin kedushas b'chora b'inishi b'chor l'chol davar l'zcharim l'ruchamim. Here's a lundus, I'm not going to go through it again, but feel free, if you have a Rishis Bikurim out there, that to look at it, he has a third answer to the question. Okay, now let's continue though now. Tzan Haslam, says the Mishnah. Ein l'nefalim p'sichas akever. Once we're talking about when births occur, so says the Mishnah in Ahalos, As we just mentioned before, when a baby comes out, at what moment is it considered out in order to be matami the bias, if it is a stillborn? So, Nephilim do not have psichas akever. It's not considered that the uterus is open until their head, ya'agilu rosh, their head is from, has an igul, meaning the diameter of the rosh's kapika is the size of a pika. What is a pika? So, Rosh Gemara says, my kapika, amar afuna kapika shel tzemer. It's part of the weaving process. So what is a pika? So whenever you have a weaving question, you got to take out your Maisa Oreg, right? You can't learn the Malachas of Oreg except without the pika. So if you have a picture over here, a pika is a certain type of kli that you tzvia, that you make thread with, and it helps weigh down and hold the hand held instrument together. That's the pika, the whorl, the whorl. That's the pika holding it down. That's how you spin it. You hold it on your arm, and the pika is the wide element on top of the depending how you're holding it on the long part in order to weigh it down in order to spin the thread. Tvia. It's not like tvia for a baguette. Tvia comes up. This is interesting. Tvia lishma. By tzitzis, you need tefillah shema. Discussion in Maseches Sukkah on Daf Tes, but that's tefillah. That's the Maisa Oreg. Remember, he spoke once when I was in Rebbe NYU. So he came to speak when the yeshiva did Maseches Shabbos. So he spoke about all the malachas. Okay, so anyway, so it has to, the head has to be that size, and that's as much as the bottom of the opening of the woman is opening. So my kapika, I'm ready to kapika shel semer. Different materials use different sizes of pikas. Amrele chia baravler of huna, rebi parish shel sesi or shel arev. Which one? Is it the strings of the warp or of the woof, right? The horizontal or the vertical strings, they're different thicknesses. So sometimes you use a bigger one or a smaller one, right? So Amarle, Tanya, Pika shall shasi, div Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Yehuda Omer shall arev, machlokas. Rabbi Lezer, Rabbi Sadduk Omer, Mishayiru tfifios. Different shot. When is it the psichas akever? When you see the tfifios. What's tfifios? My tfifios. Amr Rav Yehuda Amr Shmuel Mishum Rav Elazar Rav Tzadok. Kachay Mefarshim Yerushalayim. This is how they used to explain in Yerushalayim. Kipreda, like a mule, shekoraz lahatel meimecha. When a mule goes down to urinate, to go to the bathroom, it opens up its bottom very much, and you're even able to see inside the area of its uterus. Veneris pika mitoch pika. You see like a double disc. We just saw it. The pika is like a disc. So you see like a double disc inside. Okay, so that's the shear that is given. And Rashi says that it's a smaller shear. Right? He palagatanakama viyamar avagav shalohe gilu rosh kapika. Even if not, there's a psichas agever, even smaller. Okay, so that's what the halacha is. Amar Avuna, shamati shtei pikos achas shal shezi v'achas shal ariz v'einli lefarej. Avuna says, I've heard of two halachas that have to do with pikas. One of the arev, one of the shesi. And I can't explain it. Kiyasa Rav Dimi, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, shalosh pikos shamati. Rabbi Yochanan says, I heard there's three halachas with a pika. Achas shal shesi v'achas shal ariz v'achas shal pika gedola shal sakain. Sakon are the big sacks that are made that have much thicker thread, so you have to even use a bigger instrument, ve'enli lefarish. So I don't know what these three sizes are used for, which halachas. So kiyasa Ravin, pirsha mishmed Rav Yochanan, when Rav Dimi came, many times in the Gemara you have Rav Dimi and Ravin. They came from Eretz Yisrael and gave the following report. So when Rav Dimi came, I heard Rav Yochanan say three, I can't explain it. Ravin says, let me explain it. In the name of Rav Yochanan, Shel Isha, when is a woman considered psichas akever kishel shesi? That's that shear. Shel Behema kishel arev. Pika gedol shel sakain, what is that for? Kiditznan, that's for the following halacha. Gush habami beis hapras. If you have a gush, you have some dirt that comes from a beis hapras. Beis hapras is an area that is tamei midrabanan. There is a suffic kever that was nechrash here. Right? You don't know where the tumah is. So every area, every piece of dirt might be tamei, might not be tamei. So chazaw or metamei at midrabanan vadai. So that's beis hapras. You have gush from a beis hapras. Ume eretz ha'amim, or from chutz laretz. The dirt, the gush of chutz laretz is tamei midrabanan as well. Chazal, so how much? So shiuro kibika gadola shal sakan. So that's the shear. That size. Shehuka chosam hamartzufim, which is the same size as what they closed and they stamped the thick bags. They closed it with a certain seal, so that's the same size. The yeshno, and it's also the same size, b'tzad elyon shel magufas achaves alachmis. The lachmian barrels had a cover on it, and on the cover it had like a handle. It was like a ball that you used for a handle. So that ball, that was the same size, right? The tzad elyon, the handle size of the chavis in lachmis, which Rashi says is beis lachem. In a beis lachem, you have these shirim. Period. Okay, psichas hakever by a woman is obviously a huge discussion. First and foremost, when does a woman become nida when she's having a baby? Right, that is a big discussion. The language of the Shulchan Aruch is, interesting, the Shulchan Aruch is quoted by in Hilchas Shabbos, because the question is, when is she considered Yoledes for you to be Mechal Shabbos for her? The Shulchan Aruch says, Nikres Yoledes Lachal Ola Shabbos, Misha Teshev Al Hamashber, when she sits on the birthing stool, O Misha Shehadam Shoseis V'Yored, or when the dam starts flowing down, when she has dam. O Misha Shechavroseha Nosos Osa Bizro Oseha, she can't walk by herself. She'ein Bakoach Lahalech. That's the language of the Shulchan Aruch in Simin Shin Lamed. Right? That's any of them. Any of those simanim. Basically, if a woman can't walk by herself, or if there's any dam, either of those. You don't need all of these. And either of those, has. If she's having contractions, so the poskim say, if she didn't have dam yet, and she could still handle the contractions and still walk, then there's a good chance that she is not a nida yet. What if her water breaks? For water breaks. So that is a discussion. The Nishmat Avraham, Dr. Abraham has a discussion here. Once your water breaks, you for sure can be Mechal Shabbos. But sometimes, let's say a woman's water breaks, I don't know, early, a month before. Sometimes it happens, she might have to be on bed rest after that. But sometimes the water breaks early. So says Dr. Abraham that if she checked right afterwards that she didn't find dam, tihora. Based on a Tshuva Me'ava, who's a Talmud of the Noda B'Yehuda, he has a letter from the Noda B'Yehuda, Kishalo Yatza Dabar, Oshi Yatza Dabar Dak Ma'odo Mashke, Lo Amrina, and Eimsech Hazagera Below Dam. So too, Rav Shlomo Zalman told me, so too, Rav Norwith told me, that if she checked after she had the water broke, she is still Tahora. Gambarish Eitzel Kamenashim, Yeshirita Samayim, Lolo Kol Kesher Im Sire Leda. Sometimes, especially after many, many kids, it could be that there's just flexibility down there, and the water will break earlier. So, again, this is part of the issue of when is Psichas HaGever, when a woman has a baby. Separate from that is another major Machlokas Achronim, and that is Psichas HaGever. There is a principle, Ein Psichas HaGever below Dam. There's always Dam by Psichas HaGever. Does that apply if there's Psichas HaGever from a Gorim Chitzoni? Psichas HaKever below Dam, that's naturally. The woman's uterus starts opening and Dam comes out. What if there is an external generator of the Psichas HaKever? For example, there is an instrument that is put into the uterus for whatever medical reason. So that is the Noda B'Yehuda. The Noda B'Yehuda, according to the Pesachei Tshuva, Nechas Nida, says there's no difference. Ein chilek bein goreim apsicha mi bifnim ubein mi ba chutz. The Chazon Ish is sarachin on this, sarachin lemaisa. That is a big discussion. Either way, though, psichas hakever only means if it opens a certain amount. Many instruments, and that's what the from gynecologists know this, and OBs, not every instrument generates psichas hakever. It depends how wide is the psichas hakever. First of all, if it doesn't go all the way up, it just goes to the cervix, then there's no psichas hakever. But the question is, how wide is it? This is only the instrument, I'm just reading now from the English, just about the Avraham, but it's quoting from a tshuva from Rav Moshe. This is only if the instrument has opened the cervix to the diameter of a peacock. It's exactly our Gemara. If it did not, one may rule lenially as long as she did not see blood, and she need not examine herself. Rav Moshe writes that the diameter of a peacock is 3/4 inch. About 19 millimeters. Anything less than that is not considered psichas hakever. So again, you gotta ask, all the firm OBs know the measurements and know which instruments are problematic and which are not. Okay, weiter. Says the Gemara, Amar Reish Lakesh, Mishra Yehuda. You didn't think I would still be here. Right, Amar Reish Lakesh, Mishra Yehuda, Nesiya, Halokas. Now what are we talking about? We're talking about this Gemara is going to relate to us tomorrow. Not today, but today we start reading it. Tzir we usually translate as fish brine. But it's clear from the following Gemara that it's not only brine, that the liquid that comes out of the fish, but you mix it with water. Fish brine is mixed with water. So what happens if you buy some from a non-Jew? If I buy tzir, this mixture of water and fish brine from an am haaretz, I'm not sure if it's tamei or tahar. So I could touch it to water, and Miman of Shach, it's okay. Remember, water is the only food item that once it's tame could become tahar. Every other food item, once it's tame, is tame. Water, you could do hashaka too. You could kiss the waters together, and in that way, be mitar the water, if water became tame. So here, if I buy the fish brine from the non-Jew, so I can be mitarit, and it's tahar miman of shach. Why? Imaya ruba ninu, if the water is the rove in the mixture, then this mixture is called water, and water possibly became tame. Water could become tame. So then, kiva da'avilu ashaka, once you do ashaka, ta'avilu. You've been mitarit. What's the other choice? Ve'i ruba tsir ninu, if tsir is the rove, then fish brine is just zeya ba'alma. And therefore, tsir lo bar kabili tumahu. And tsir cannot be makabal tumah at all. So, ma'ika, mishim hanach miyuta demaya. You're worried about the little miyut of water in there? Hanach bati lu baruba, it's bata barov. And therefore, miman of shach, if I buy fish brine from a non-Jew, which is a mixture of the water and the brine, I don't have to be, I could just do hashaka to it in a mikvah, and in that way, it is for sure tahar. Again, if it was water, if it's rove water, which is water, then it can be matara because it's water, and if it was fish brine, rove, so then, memela, I can, it doesn't become tame. And I'm not worried about the little water inside, because it's bitol be rove. Important halacha just in Tosfos here. And what about no Saint Tom? No Saint Tom, says Tosfos, is only a principle by Isra Vehetar, not by Tumah Vatara. Very important line. Might be Pasha, but Dibur Maskel Hanach. Tosfos says you don't apply that here. Okay, Vaiter, Amar Yirmiya, Lo Shanu, El Litvo Ben Pito. When is this good enough? When does the Miman of Shach work? Only if you are just dipping your bread in the fish brine. You're not doing anything to the brine. Avala Kedera, Lo, but if you're putting the fish brine into a huge pot of soup, where there's going to be a lot more water in there, then it's not going to work. Why? Matza min esmino vineyur. The little miut of water that it could be in the fish brine, right now, it might be tummy. You didn't do hashaka to it. But it's going to find the rest of the water, matzah min esmino vineyur, and it'll be awakened, what will become tummy? What will become tummy? So Tosfos says, it itself, the water itself is going to be tummy. That water is going to be chozer vineyur, because it's going to connect to other water, and it's not going to be mevutal anymore. Rashi has a little difficult shot, exactly what Rashi means. Rashi on the last line, on the Amud, Rabin al atzir umetamin oso. The water is going to be metame the tzir. Ask Tosfos on Rashi. Now the other one, no! The tzir is not makabal tumah! Sarchin, exactly what Rashi means. There's a big discussion in the Achronim, the Lumdis, what's the machlokas in Rashi and Tosfos. Maybe it's a machlokas about what Bitul Barov actually does. Like we spoke about before, does it give it the miyut, the status, or the dinim of the rove? So even if it's not makabal tumah inherently, since the rove is makabal tumah, so to the miyut can be makabal tumah, like we spoke about before from the stipler. Either way, that is Rashi Atosis. But at least, the tear itself is usher. So, you could only use this miman of shach if you don't mix it with others. So Yasser Rav Dibi v'kamala shmaitza, Rav Dibi said this over, amalei abaya, v'chituma shebat lachazra v'neora. Could tuma be regenerated, right? Chozer v'neyor, v'amalei v'yat lotis bro. You don't say it can be. Everybody agrees it can be regenerated. After all, v'atzan the bishop says in trumos sa'ah truma temeya shenafla lismeya chulin tahorin. If you have truma that was batel. The only issue though that the truma that fell in was tame. Truma was batel, or truma is batel in 101. So it was batel, so what do you do? So Rabbi Eliezer, Omer, Teirom, V'Teirakev. Rabbi Eliezer says, you take one out and let it rot. Why? Shani Omer, because I'm allowed to say, Hisasha Nafli, Hisasha Alsa. The sa that fell in is the sa that you took out. This is the truma tameya. It was batel, so it's not matame, the rest of the mixture, but you have to leave it to rot. Tosfos in the bottom, the first little Tosfos in Teirom V'Teirakev says, this other Tosfos is about Chozer V'Neyor and Efshel L'Sokhto. This little Tosfos says that the Yerushalmi holds you have to burn it. So Tosfos has 2 days, whether here rotting means to burn it, it just means it's a burning that you're not allowed to get hanah from, that's why it's called rotting, or it's a machlokas between the Bavli and the Yerushalmi. Tosfos has 2 days there. But either way, Rav Elazar says you got to take a piece out and let it rot or burn it. V'chachamim omrim, no, tala, v'teyachel, you can eat it, it's batel. Don't worry about it. You can eat everything. Tala v'teyachel. Rashi says in the third line, you got to take maybe pay the kohen the amount of money that it was because there was truma in there. But you don't have to take any out. But how do you eat it? Nikudim. You have to eat it dried out. O kalayos, or toasted. O tilos be meperis, or only use it in a way that it is kneaded with meperis. Meaning, o tischalik leisos, or cut it up into very small dough. So you don't have a beitza in one spot. What do you have to do? What do you have to eat it in all these ways for? L'chora, because you worry that it might become tameh. That's why you cannot let it get wet. That's why you have to take it very small pieces. But one second. What are you worried about, according to the Chachamim? It was already batel. Ah, you see from the Chachamim that even though something tummy is batel, it can be chozer v'neir. V'tani Allah, and even the Gemara says, Osan chulin Rabbi Eliezer matahe alein. What about Rabbi Eliezer says you got to take out a piece and burn it? What about the rest of it? What about the rest of it? He agrees with the Chachamim that it has to be eaten dry. Yachlu nekud demokoyos o yilosh meperos o deschai lisas bachlo yekabetsa makam echad. V'yomar ula matam. And Ula says, why is this? Why do you have to eat it all dry? Shgzeira sheme yavi kav chulin tmeyim v'makam acher v'kav od mimin zeh sabarif tilinu baruba. You might think that it's already batel and it can be batel of more barov. V'kiva de'ika hai mashahu matza minas mi. So question mark. So you see, even Rabbi Eliezer agrees of this concept that Tumah might be Chozer V'Neyor. So he asked back, right? Abaya, Rav Dimi says back to Abaya, you don't think it's logical? Everybody agrees that the Tumah is Chozer V'Neyor. So of course we're worried about it. And that's why in the Tzir case, you have to be worried about mixing the Tzir with the water. Last line, Amar Leh, Im Tumah Oreres Tumah, Tahara Oreres Tumah. Tumah and Tumah could be ma'orah each other. What are you worried about here in our Truma case? You're worried about the Truma Tumea will be awakened by other Tumea items. My issue here by the Tzir is that the water is going to connect to the water, but the Tumah water is going to connect to tar water. That's going to make the Tumah of the tiny little water be Chozer V'Neyor? That's the question. So you can't compare the cases, says Rav Dimi. Says Abaya. Okay, we'll stop here. I guess we'll have to continue. By the Shem, we're going to have to talk about Mevatlin Isola Chachila. That comes up in the Taftosis over here, and other items as well, meaning getting back to a question of, can you ever be Shoel on your Truma to solve any Truma problems? Okay, by the Shem, we'll talk about that tomorrow.